This is a Euretina Independent Medical Education podcast with kind support from Novartis and Zeiss. In this episode, we will hear a discussion between Professor Ramin Taglioni of France and Professor Sebastian Wolf from Switzerland on the topic of best practices for diagnosing and monitoring AMD.
Welcome to the 2021 Euretina video interviews on AMD fluid resolution. I'm Ramin Taglioni, and today I'm joined by Sebastian Wolf. Sebastian and I will discuss key considerations for optimizing real-world outcomes in neovascular AMD treatment. Together, we'll address best practices for diagnosing and monitoring AMD, as well as treatment protocol, outcome targets, and therapy decisions. Sebastian, the first question everyone is asking himself is, what's the initial multimodal diagnostic workup for a conventional neovascular patient? So what do you do, for example?
So first, of course, we have to do visual acuity. We have to know if the patient is disturbed by his disease. And the next step is usually to look into the eye. But in many times nowadays, we do first then the OCT, where we do see some changes. We see fluid, we see drusen, and then we already know this is a neovascular AMD patients. And then the question is, do we need a fluorescein angiogram? Do we need it or do we don't need it? Ramin, how are you doing this in your clinic?
I would say that because OCTA is so easily available at my place, so I will do the OCTA. And in most of the cases, I will stop there. I may not do any angio. But some cases, still I continue doing FA and the ICGs, for example, if I think it's a polyp. But honestly, at this stage, I'm going to inject if I am sure that there is CNV. What do you do? Do you do FA in every patient?
So at least I prefer FA over OCTA in AMD cases because I just like to know if the vessels are leaky. Okay, you are right. We have the OCT showing fluid, so we know they are leaky. But then we don't need fluorescein and neither OCTA if we inject. So I would inject even if I don't have an OCTA. But I think at baseline, it's safer to have fluorescein and OCTA and in special cases, ICG as well. But it's traditionally to have everything.
No, it makes sense, especially if you are not sure that the symptoms are recent. I think it fully makes sense. At this stage, we are going to treat the patient for a long time. So I think it's very good. But how do you do if you have conflicting information from your different devices? How do you integrate this?
So I heavily rely, of course, on ophthalmoscopy. So if I see fluid or if I see blood underneath the retina, then probably I don't need an OCT. And if the OCT shows no fluid, I would inject anyway. So if this is a patient with drusen and blood, this is for me very clear that this should be an exudative AMD. If there's no fluid on OCT, then I need to do a fluorescein showing some leakage. Yeah. But you're right. If there's no leakage and you have an OCTA vessels, so what do you do then? And if you have only very little fluid on OCT?
I mean, you're right. If there is no fluid, let's take me the easy question. If there is no fluid, so I would say, okay, this is non-leaking, quiescent neovessels, especially type 1, and we know that we don't have to treat them. Many of them are stable for months and years. But I find difficult when you have a discrepancy between FA, for example, and OCTA. And I should confess, if I have a good quality OCTA, I would more rely on the OCTA today than the FA. But you are right, they don't give the same information. The OCTA shows there's neovessels, and I think that's very important to remember from what you said. And the FA shows if there is a leakage from these neovessels. And the OCT shows if the leakage end up to subretinal or intraretinal fluid. So basically, each of them are good in one information compared to other. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And I had today a patient which was very difficult. So this was a patient, he had a macular off-retinal detachment. He had PVR, And so we had operated him with silicone oil, and he had for 6 months silicone oil, and we removed the silicone oil. And OCT has a lot of cysts, but more in the inner retina. But additionally, he has drusen, a lot of drusen, and some atrophy. So what to do in this patient, additional diagnosis? Would you do OCTA? He has a double layer sign. So very difficult.
Very difficult. And somehow that's why doctors are still needed. We have to take decision, including sometimes the patient. I really talk to the patient and share with them that sometimes I'm not sure, and we have to take a decision together. It happens that these are difficult cases, you're right. Now, and how often, because you said at the initial examination, it's first time you do FA, and you have a quite complete imaging modality, which fully makes sense. And how often will you monitor again the patient with imaging, at least? And are they the same modalities or are different modalities?
Yeah, so, you know, we are doing almost in every patient treatment extent. And this means at every visit the patient is coming in, we do an OCT. But basically, this is the main diagnostic. If we don't see fluid, we extend. If we see fluid, we keep the interval or we shorten the interval depending on the extension already. And we do fluorescein in the follow-up very, very seldomly, only if we have the impression this the diagnosis was not right, or we have a special case, let's say, of polypoidal, then we do an ICG. But basically the follow-up, 90% is OCT only.
I fully agree. So the way we have organized in the department is that the patients see the same doctor every 6 months with a quite complete visual acuity OCT, sometimes OCTA. But FA, it's only if there is a question, as you said. But in between, there is a treat and extend. And basically, the treat and extend is based on the OCT. We do also VA, but there is always discussion, is it still useful or not if the patient doesn't complain? But OCTA is the base for treat and extend. I fully agree. And by time to time, we do a little bit more. And I also agree that we don't do FA or ICG if we have no specific question. If everything is going right, we let it go.
This is exactly what we are doing. We see the patient. We have two different kind of visits, one short visit, which is at every time point of injection, and one more extended visit with fundoscopy and everything every 6 to 9 months, depending on the intervals and the disease activity.
And Sebastian, because the patient comes often for treat and extend, so do you have a special setting for the patients just coming for the OCT, then having the injection, or they come in between the whole consultation and the clinic, or no, in specific short pathway?
We have a specific clinic for the treat and extend patients. They come to a special place where they get OCT, visual acuity, and then doctors looking very shortly on the eye if there's any inflammation or so, and then they go to the operation room to get
We the same, and it incredibly improved the adherence of the patient to the treatment, because if they stay more than a certain time, we evaluate here, they say 2 hours is okay for the whole process. More than 2 hours is too much. So we try to have less than 2 hours between arrival and departure.
Yeah, we try to be in 60 minutes done.
Wow, always better.
It's difficult. This is the aim, not 2 hours. So the aim is 1 hour.
But there is one difference, is that in France, they have for their rules reasons, they have to go out by the, not buy, but they give the paper, have the drug in a pharmacy and come back. We cannot deliver in the injection room. So this by per se takes a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
Lots of things to think about from that very interesting discussion. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Zeiss and Novartis. I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Professor Ramin Taglioni and Professor Sebastian Wolf. In the next podcast, the discussion will be on outcome goals for anti-VEGF treatment. That's it until next time, and a reminder, There is more available on this topic at eplatform.uretna.org.